So.
We started this because of a sense of a bench of three should be started for regional issues between Elizabeth, Colleen, and myself. And I think they have a lot more education than I do. I've listened to a lot of Ian Clayton and Justin Abraham. But that's all I know about benches of three, the Seven Mountains, those type of things. And so there's, I've done a lot of study, but practical application with a governmental situation like that has not been the case for me. And so she's saying, "Can you hear me?" I should say, "Yes, we could, but you went away." Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of experiential stuff for you, have you engaged on your own in terms of a mountain? Are you having involuntary visions, voluntary experiences? Where, how is it, as it were?
Lo and behold, I've been traveling in the spirit since I probably for 30 years, and didn't know it. Thought I was seeing visions, and it took me the longest time. Like, let's see, a gate in heaven, or the Lord showed me His mountain, and I went, "Oh, look, isn't that nice?" And it never dawned on me for years to go through the gate, to go up the mountain. So yes, I've engaged with people, met Moses, actually went to a baseball game in heaven.
Really?
But the thing, especially listen to Ian Clayton, it never dawned on me that, of course, the Lord would have these things organized, and that there is an organization to it. So that's kind of my learning curve right now, is getting familiar with the organization, the gates, those kinds of things. Understanding more about the courts, how to operate in them, and understanding more about the trading floor. And I don't, I don't completely know where Colleen and Elizabeth are out because we haven't had a chance to engage, and really need to spend more time talking together. Yeah.
Sure. What about the sort of your own inward development in terms of the garden of your own heart, dance floor, that type of encounters, manifesting the spirit around you, creating an atmosphere, seeing in the realm of the spirit in this realm? Have you sort of done much of that?
I see very well in the spirit in this realm, very well. Even see into other places. Like, I have a friend that uses the moniker New Mystic, and I was talking to him on chat one day, and he's a professional man, so he uses the moniker,
Yeah, I know him, yeah.
okay, so I said, I could see into his office. I said, "Are you some kind of engineer?" And I said, "You're a professional person." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "You're sitting at a desk." And he goes, "Yes, I am an engineer." And he says, "Oh my goodness, my desk is a clutter." I said, "Oh, that's just creativity going." So yes, I do. I had a huge problem with the garden, and The Lord showed me that it was a hurt. That's probably one of the first things I saw was the garden 30 years ago. And in a home fellowship group, I shared. I was all excited. And I said, oh, I saw this field with wildflowers. The next day, one of the ladies from the group called me and said, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Why do you think you have a corner on the spiritual market that you can see into places? And so when people started talking about gardens, that really, I was like, rawr, rawr, rawr. And so I brought it to the Lord and I said, Lord, this doesn't match my own personal experience. And he said, yes, it does. Remember when. So we walk through, you know, forgiveness, etc. I know nothing about the dance floor. That's the first time I've heard it mentioned.
Okay, well, there's what I'm finding in talking to people all over the place is that many people have had encounters, have had trances, visions, various degrees of that in their life, but as you say, not really understood the protocol of the kingdom to see what was all of it about. You know, was that something which was a one-off? Actually, is that something I can go back to and outwork? And I sort of feel that there's sort of two pathways that I personally have encountered, and the one pathway is my personal intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, who are in me. And as I, you know, use like Revelation 3:20, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it's the sense that the kingdom is within me, and within that kingdom within me is the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they need permission. So they open the door and let them in. So that's intimacy, which then you can then see that come from the spirit to bring integration with the soul and the body so that we're a whole person and we're a channel for the Father's work and for Jesus and various things like that. And that whole dimension for me was around engaging God in the garden of my own heart. I had no idea I had a garden. It's like, you know, I operated in the gifts of the Spirit a lot, so there was like a trickle of the river of life that was flowing from under that door, if you like, that in a sense I tapped into and I developed, you know, so being able to prophesy and pray for the sick and do things like that, I developed from the relationship with the Holy Spirit that flowed from the river of life, but it was a trickle because I never opened the door to let it become a river. It was just a trickle. And so over the years, I've prophesied and had pictures and visions and that sort of stuff. And so when I first, you know, I engaged heaven and then couldn't do it for a couple of years. And, you know, I had an encounter with heaven. I went there, was shown fire stones and the river of fire and thrones and different things. Couldn't go back. But was pursuing that. Once I then had breakthroughs and I went back into heaven on a fast and really gave some time to it, I began to have face-to-face encounters with Jesus and the Holy Spirit to begin with. And it was like this little area of all I saw was a tree. And it was a swing on that tree, and there was this little bench and a little bit of grass. That was it. Now, I didn't know where that was. You know, for me, it was like, this is just a wonderful time where I can talk with God. There was an intimacy about what he was sharing with me there. And then I also had many encounters in different places in heaven, which, you know, in waterfalls and pools and rivers and thrones and different places. Again, I didn't know where they were. It was just, they were involuntary. I opened myself to for God and positioned myself, and God took me and showed me things, whether it's shown me creation or taking me back on the timeline or taking me out into the galaxy and just amazing things, you know, giving me understanding and teaching me things and, you know, introducing me to the seven spirits of God and just so many different things to some of the men in white linen and things like that. But then, you know, as part of that, it was like it dawned on me that this little area was my heart, which I'd never, ever developed. And, of course, as I began to look at Eden and Adam and Eve and their call to tend and cultivate the garden, and obviously they forfeited that and it got closed in terms of the cherubim and the fiery sword and things, and then it's sort of, I had an encounter with Jacob, and Jacob told me to go and read about his life and to look at the whole issue of an open heaven and Bethel being the house of God and then being a gate of heaven. And so then he taught me and told me to look at John 14 and how there we become a house of God and the presence of the Father, Son, and Spirit come to dwell in our house, and we have an open heaven and we're a gate. So what was an original garden has been actually in us. So that's really developed for me. And along the journey, I learned how to cultivate and tend that garden, how to plant things there, how to think things there, how to engage things in heaven and then have them reflected in the garden of my own heart. So I have mountains there and waterfalls and rivers and, you know, I've got this tablecloth that I can go and fellowship and green pasture, much from Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, but he makes me lie down in green pasture, and he leads me beside quiet waters. And so the river of life was flowing in this garden, and the whole thing just began to grow as I engaged and as I looked to find my personal intimate relationship with God there within my own heart. And then I discovered that if I went through the gate that I'd opened of first love, I could go back into heaven and engage in the garden of God and engage in Eden there. So I could engage in the river of life there and the waterfalls, and I went in the garden of God and I went to the tree of life and I went to the throne of grace. And but all that was much to do with my personal relationship, my identity and who I was in him, and being able to go to him for revelation and fellowship and just building a relationship. And, you know, I wasn't able to engage the judgment seat there, and the seven spirits of God, I wasn't able to engage in that realm, which was awesome, and it was great. But I didn't really, if that was it, I would have been really pleased, and to have this place where I could engage heaven and come in and out would have been wonderful. But then he started to take me to the courts, and then I took me to see mountains, and I'm like, okay, I understand the principle of mountains in that they represent authority, and I could see thrones, and I could see dragons, and I could suddenly start to see giants and ogres and things that were on these thrones and on these mountains, and I'm like, ooh, this is weird now. You know, this is really weird. But then the sort of the opening the gateways in my life was the next process. Okay, I'm engaging with God on the inside, but I want this to flow. So in knowing all the spirit gates and how the spirit gates worked and how the soul gates worked and how I needed to become one and all flow, that was really where I started to focus, and that opened up. But as I was doing that and learning how to just create an atmosphere of the spirit around me and then eventually begin to see into that realm, I also began to see about presenting myself as a living sacrifice back in heaven, you know, to Jesus the high priest, to engage and yield to the different realms of heaven. And so where I'd been, particularly around the ark, in the Holy of Holies, I was sort of taken there, and shown it and experienced it, and then I was shown other things like the altar of incense and the laver and different things, but really didn't have much of a clue. But as I journaled everything and I've gone back and I've pursued that pathway, I realized that everything inside and the pathway of relationship flowed from the inside out. And so I'm connected up to heaven, and as a gate of heaven, it flows through me, around me. And so I have that realm of the spirit around me. But everything that goes into heaven, and suddenly it got the connection between, well, Revelation 3:20 opens up the door in my spirit to be connected to heaven in relationship. But as a result of that, Revelation 4:1 says, come up here. There's a door open in heaven. And so that was the two accesses into those realms for me. And so I began to come up and go into the realms of heaven and engage through the different veils that are there, which, you know, the kingdom of God and the veil of the way, and then, you know, the kingdom of heaven and the veil of the truth, and then the heaven in terms of where the Holy of Holies is, and engage with the life and go through the veil. So I learned that presenting myself as a living sacrifice to serve him, which was sort of my act of worship, if you like, in service, came out of the relationship and therefore enabled me to go in from the outer court, inner court, into the Holy of Holies, and then engage the mountain of God and to engage the different rooms in the mountain and the throne. I mean, the throne room, whenever I go there, I just want to be on my face and casting my crowns before him. You know, that's all I want to do. It's almost like, whoa, you know. But I've sort of subsequently mapped it all out. So I now know where all those places are, and so where all the rooms I've been in the mountain of God, in the wine room, and in the different rooms there, and the treasury room, and things like that. And, you know, where the mountains are in the realm of the kingdom, and how to rule on those, and therefore how, when I got given a different level of authority in Venture 3 stuff, I then was given a mountain within the realm of the kingdom of God, rather than the kingdom of heaven, rather than the kingdom of God, which is a higher level of authority, and that gave me access into different courts. So then, to start with, I accessed the mobile court, and so I was doing the judicial stuff about in my own life and for other people. And then I got to access the court of angels and the court of the strategic court of war, and that was it. You know, I was functioning there for a while, and then once I got given a higher level, that took me into the protocol of the kingdom. And I found that engaging wisdom was what taught me of the protocol. I really pursued Proverbs 8. And pursuing wisdom, and I found that it talked there about wisdom calling to the sons of men and calling from the heights and calling from where the doors are and where the gates are and where the pathways meet and where the timeline is. It was there that in that pursuit of wisdom, and in Proverbs 8, it talks about wisdom being the key to kings ruling and princes ruling and nobles ruling with righteousness. And so my encounters with wisdom, therefore, then began to teach me the protocols of how to operate in the court of kings and the court of chancellors and the court of scribes and in the court of the upright in terms of the men in white linen. And so finding that, yeah, it is a kingdom based on actual protocol of the king, I have learned how to function in that protocol over the last, you know, couple of years, and, you know, I'm starting to teach people how to go there and to access the doors and the different things that are there. But the two pathways need to function together. So whatever you do has to be established in heaven, but then needs to be outworked through our lives, or outworked in our region or in our sphere of influence. In a practical way. So, you know, I've developed some of those pathways now and have mapped out really everywhere I've been. And God, he still takes me to some new places sometimes, which are still involuntary. I had an involuntary experience on Sunday in worship, and I was just in the midst of an intimate time of worship, and I was taken into this amazing place, which I just couldn't even focus to see. It was so light and bright and full of gold and sort of stuff. And after a while, I began to focus and look and see around, and I found out I was in the court of 70 in the galactic court, and I was sort of looking and seeing what they were doing and the doors they had open to them into this realm. And now it's like, okay, what do I do with that? So then I go and take that encounter and go back to God with it, and ask him to show me, well, why did you take me there? What did I need to understand? How do I need to help other people? What is the Galactic Council, who are on it, who should be on it? I'm just really inquisitive, and it's part of my redemptive gift, is sort of teacher, prophet teacher, and I want to know how things work. So going there, I've gone back with to wisdom and said, okay, can you explain who's on the Galactic Council, and who should be on it? Which was really interesting, because then he started to tell me about the Order of Melchizedek, and raising up the Order of Melchizedek will release more people to be actual people who are living on the Galactic Council rather than those who are not in this realm, because it should be people in this realm. It's composed of lots of ancient ones, some of the people who didn't die, which is, Enoch and Elijah and a few others who we don't know about, and some of the men in white linen, but very few people that actually are still in this realm and administrating that realm with there. So it was quite interesting as a process to understand. I got invited 2 years ago to go, and in February, they sit in February for a period of time in which they administer the coming year, sort of thing.
There's literally on Earth a galactic council that meets.
Well, they're in heaven, in heaven of
Oh,
heaven.
okay.
No, it's in the heaven of heavens, but we have there. We should be able to operate there and here. So just like you can go in the Court of Chancellors, or you can go in the Mobile Court, you can go. Well, I don't know if anyone can. It's like, I guess those that are called to be part of that
There.
council or
Yeah.
to understand the protocol of it, maybe, I don't know. I haven't got quite that far yet, but I did start to see how and how this some of the openings and the doors and the things they had into this realm began. And this now that for me now will become somewhere where I will want to map out, and I'll want to find out. And 2 years ago I was invited to go, and I couldn't. I just wasn't. I just There's something happened, and I couldn't do it. But I was just taken this on Sunday. I was just taken. So,
Oh,
yeah.
the suddenlies.
Well, it was just like that. I'm enjoying myself in worship, and all of a sudden I'm somewhere else, sort of like, ooh. And it was so different. The atmosphere in the realm of heaven, of heavens, is different from the other realms of the kingdom I've experienced. I couldn't, when I first went there, I struggled to breathe, because it was something I didn't recognize. It was just a different atmosphere, where it's not about so much God's ruling or governing, it's about God's love, and it's a different thing, really. It's difficult to explain, but so some of these, I'm trying now to help other people to come into their kingdom spheres and to begin to rule from their mountains, and to identify what are the mountain spheres that they've got in their own life. And then when faithful in ruling that, there's, this, if you're faithful in little, you get more. And I was given personally, I had a mantle and a scepter and a crown, given to me, and I was invested with authority on my own mountain. And you know, eventually I engage with the angel that's part of there, that mountain, to help with protocol, which was great. And then, you know, because I'm involved with sort of, you know, in an apostolic role in church and in our town and our region, I sort of almost skipped my own personal mountains bit, because I kept seeing other mountains, like all our church mountains, and it was like, but then God wouldn't let me on them. And he says, no, you've got to raise other people to go on them because I've called you to this. And I'm like, okay, well, this is really frustrating because I'm, so it's like, where are the people for those mountains? And we're just at the point where we've got all those mountains nearly occupied and we're starting to function in that. But I've, you know, then I sort of had to realize, hey, you've got your own mountains. And it's a balancing act, trying to balance it all out. And a lot of it, I trust God to take care of my mountains, and in this season, because I'm operating in some levels that are above that, and therefore in this season I'm not doing many miracles or signs of wonders, or that's just not where my focus is. But I have done in the past and I will do in the future, but right now, just understanding the protocol of heaven and the different dimensions to help other people is seemingly where God's is sort of challenging me to be involved. And so that sort of, I'm exploring things and mapping things and learning the protocol of things so I can pass that on so other people can go and actually really do those things, you know, start ruling in their region or their sphere. You know, and I think my understanding of church has just changed from, you know, seeing it just as has to be something which is local, into something that, no, it is the gathered ones who are called to something together. And that could be, you know, a region, or it could be a physical location. It could just be a spiritual sphere of authority, you know, like, I don't know, family or worship or something which has a wider, or any loads of things which I have no idea about, because people have to find those things in their own destiny, if you like.
We have something really exciting going on here in that realm, the yeah. gathering. And that is, there are several ministries. It's the south western corner of Washington State, from, you know, you don't know the area, but a quarter of the state. And there are several ministries that I've never seen it. Instead of being territories and kingdoms unto themselves, it's like we've linked arms. And people will say, hey, we're doing this. And leaders from other ministries show up, link arms, do whatever it is. And then somebody from another area will say, hey, we're doing this. And everybody will, and there's no camps. And so recently we're starting to do things like invite speakers in.
Yeah.
And we'll say, let's go in together and bring in, because we need this teaching here. And people are not going, it's my ministry.
Yeah.
And you, it's really changed what you just said.
Yeah.
The sense of church, you know, the sense of body of Christ. And so yeah. That's one of the things, the issue of government. Mm-hmm. We're having these talks about what is the bench of three? Who are the apostolic prophetic for this region? And then what are the mountains and who's on them?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. So we have something similar here in that, you know, I operate with another couple of people regionally, and we've been meeting for the last 18 months, 2 years. No one would know, but we're doing things together. We feel called to that bench of three. We've been stepping into heaven together. We've started to outwork some of the things God's given scrolls and mandates for, and we're very much connected in exactly the same way. It's like ministry connects. We've just got this sort of highway between us that flows, and things, we just come to hang out together, start sharing things, and it just inspires that flow of connection between the different regions. And you know, I know that that will eventually produce a canopy that will bring fire to the atmosphere and really transform and change things. But it's not about anybody else knowing. It's Mm-mm. just about it's being recognized in heaven. We don't need to be recognized on earth. You know, sometimes, yeah, you may get called to do something, and at the moment we're issuing a sound that God's told us to do. We're just being obedient and seeing who responds to that sound and different things. But it's very much about releasing blessing. It's not about, it's not the old order. The new order is this new order of Melchizedek, which is not actually about earthly creation of those ministries, because a lot of those ministries unfortunately ended up or are still centered around a person who does all the ministry rather
or a
than
building.
Yeah, or a building or a place, rather than actually equipping everyone to minister and bringing everyone into their destiny.
Yeah.
It's too much about depending on the one great ministry who does it all for everyone else, which is the old order. And yeah. God is raising up a new order of those who've got no genealogy, who have got no past, who've dealt with everything, don't need recognition, don't need to be known. Whether God chooses to make them known, that's God. And the heart of everyone is just, hey, we're here to bring God's kingdom and manifest it on earth as sons. And it is a totally different mindset, and it's great that you're, you know, sharing some of those things. You know, I'm sort of connecting up with some guys in Washington State, a church which is looking to sort of transition, and I'm connecting up with a couple of their pastor and their leaders. And there's another guy, it's in Mountaintop Ministries, a guy called Mike Danforth. He's from that area as well.
Yes, Yakima, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're
from
having,
the church.
We're having Mike over to speak.
Right. Well, I was having a hangout with him yesterday.
Oh my gosh!
So we hung out. It's actually on. I uploaded it this morning, so it's the latest upload. We hung out, and he was sharing some of his encounters and some of the things he'd seen, and very similar to you, had the amazing things, but just didn't quite see how they fitted with scrolls and mandates and the judicial system. And so we had a great chat about it, and you know, and I think that's part of, you know, I just feel I'm called to explore some of these things to try and make them accessible to others, who
well,
then will go and find it for themselves.
In that sort of, to you, there's areas I've, like the courts, there's areas I've popped into, and then you know, I didn't know there was other. I've been in the war court. But I haven't been in the other courts, things like that. And I'm like, you're talking, and there's a court of chancellors, you know, things. I've just never heard of those things.
Yeah, yeah. But what it is, it's like once you have been invested with authority on your mountain, and you get to engage with the seven mountains that are there, that then is lordship, and that then gives you access to administer the laws of the king. So in Zechariah 3, you get the walking in his ways, which we've all done here, and we've all done our bit in terms of being a servant and a bondservant, and many of us have been stewards of ministry, and we've had ministries, and we've done that in this realm. But the next step is friendship, which is when Jesus said, I'm no longer going to call you servants, I'm going to call you friends, and I'm going to reveal my heart to you. Like Moses, the children of Israel saw the works of God, which is the sort of the ministries that we're doing, but actually Moses knew the ways of God because he saw him face to face. And that was that next step of intimacy into the face to face encounters with God in his realms that is the next step, which brings us into lordship. And in Zechariah 3, you know, you have this process, you know, where Zechariah was in heaven, he was in the courts, he was declared righteous and given new robes, and then the angel says, if you will, you know, walk in my ways, if you will perform my laws, which is the administering the kingdom as a lord, then you will get access to govern my house, have charge of my courts, and to stand with those who are here. And there's a, that's the process that we're learning to engage in. So, you know, we're stepping into the fact that we're lordship, and so we begin to administer the kingdom from our mountain, which is really who we are in kingdom identity, and administer the seven mountains, or if we have other areas where we begin to operate in benches and we operate that in churches, or we operate, we get then invested into a different level of authority and kingship, which may be very limited. You know, my kingship of our church is basically in terms of our bench of three. We have a sphere that God's given us, and therefore we can operate with authority within that sphere. My regional sphere gives me a greater dimension of authority, but actually I've got no right to go to any individual church within that sphere and do anything unless invited. But I can still bless them, and I can still do things in the realm of heaven to release God's purposes for our region, and to release the resource, and the open up the everlasting doors in different things, because I've been lifted up as a head to become a gate to open those doors. And so there's dimensions of the kingdom that we are still coming into. And once you get into that kingship area, I was given an orb. I mean, it was easy for me to understand that because our queen has one of those in her official photos. You know, you get this little round thing with a little cross on it, which symbolizes government. You know, the scepter symbolizes ruling. But there's a difference between ruling as a lord and having that and operating in kingship and making laws to operate. And so that's, you know, and when we get to access standing there as sons, then we get access to other dimensional things that in the age to come is going to open a whole different ball game. And we get access to stand in the realms above heaven, in the heaven of heavens, and there's perfection, and then there's on into the realm of eternity, you know, where, you know, that's where the presence, you know, we operate mostly in the presence of God, and his presence is seen, and we can see him, and but actually there is his person, and in the dark cloud, you know, I've only been in there a couple of times, and I couldn't cope for a fraction of a second of being in there, and it took me 4 months to be able to even get through the dark cloud to be able to access that realm. But that's in a different realm, the realm of his person, and actually his person himself, totally different ball game. And but as sons operating, we will be able to manifest that on earth. But we've got to be able to access those realms. So there's a lot there that we're learning, and I think God is releasing through different people or across the world, different aspects of things, so that we can sort of, I'm very eclectic, you know, I'll pick up stuff from whoever's getting revelation and, you know, chew the grapes and spit out the pips and just take that revelation that God is giving for that area. You know, so, you know, Ian, I love Ian, you know, we've had him here a few times and I've spent time with him and we have a great time, you know, but some people, he'd just get confused because he's not a systematic teacher, he's a prophetic voice that for me just opens up realms of possibility that I can go and pursue. But for some people, it just like, wow, but I have no idea how to do that, you know. And so it's almost like I feel called to fill in the gaps of trying to help take people, you know, I mean, because Ian's been doing this for 30 years. You know, how you expect people to be able to do 30 years of stuff? You can't just do it overnight. So we've got to find ways of helping people embrace their destiny in ruling and get in their mountains and then going beyond into whatever that might be. You know, and you know, heaven is a multiversed environment that when we engage in, we see things and experience things from our perspective as God and enables it. I mean, I've never seen a baseball game in heaven. I've never even seen lots of things that a lot of other people have seen, but then I've seen a lot of things that other people don't see as well. Now, some
That
things are
was.
very clear. Yeah, there's a river of life, there's a tree of life, and there's a throne of grace, and there's a throne room, and there's temple, and there's various things in heaven, and the river of fire, and the river of glory, and all those things which are there. But even when we engage them at the level that is relevant to us and our uniqueness with God.
Yes.
Because we're all
I
unique. And so,
have
when I take people and we go to the throne of grace, and we all get to sit on God's lap at the same time, because
Is that
it's not spatial in the way in which we see it here, so we can all do that. And sometimes you can go and watch what's going on and see them, which is interesting, but usually you just engage yourself and people engage, and we all get, I've taken people to the tree of life, and it's okay, eat some fruit, and then we sort of like, oh, what did you see? Oh, I saw this purple fruit. And there's like three people. Yeah, I saw purple fruit. It looked like this. Oh, mine looked like this. And I ate it and it tasted like this. And people would say, oh, well, that is not real. Well, it's very real to the person, because actually it's designed for it to be personal and intimate and unique, as well as there being a throne of God and there being God's throne. And yes, there is the sea of glass, and there are things which are described in the Bible, but how we engage them is all very different, which is, I find, just amazing that God would create a multiversed environment that creates all the possibilities for us to engage personally and intimately with Him all at the same time.
So the throne of grace is, that's what the throne of grace is sitting on Papa's lap.
Yeah,
Those
to
kinds
me,
of
the
things.
throne of grace, where I found the throne of grace, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like people would just say, oh, well, I've come to the throne of grace because I'm praying and I'm asking for help. And in an old sort of way, that is all we had revelation of. But actually, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, where is the throne of grace? It is in heaven. So to come boldly to the throne of grace, we actually need to go to heaven, to the throne of grace, and engage with Him to find mercy and help in time of need. And so I found that beyond, if you follow the river of life, you end up going to lots of really interesting places. And so I've followed that river and pathways on it, up waterfalls and into gardens and across bridges and things. And I found that by following that river, it flowed right through the tree of life. And so I went through the tree of life to the other side, and on the other side was the throne of grace. And so, yeah, I go there, and he's my dad. He is my dad, and I go and sit on his lap, and I share, and I feel his heartbeat, and I receive all I need from that place of intimacy with him. And that's how the throne of grace works for me, and I've helped other people go there and experience similar things. And then it sort of leads on to a few other places, which are pretty awesome places. And that's how I've sort of discovered a lot of things,
Do you
either
know
been
what I
taken there or gone and found stuff for myself,
I sit. I will sit. I didn't know it was the throne of grace. I will go sit at his feet, lean against his leg, and watch him deal with people. And a favorite thing to do is lay down, put my head on his foot, and go to sleep.
Yeah, because
You're with Daddy.
it's a place of rest.
Yeah.
You have to rest there. You can't be anxious or worrying, or it's got to be a place of rest, which is why, that's what relationship brings, rest. And then we can come out of rest and relationship and not be trying to do things for relationship. It flows from relationship, not for it, and everything flows from there. But now, of course, I can just go there by thought, because the pathway is mine. I've developed the pathway so much that, it's my pathway. It's actually part of me. So if I want to go to the throne of grace, I don't have to go up the river and the waterfalls and through the tree of life. I just go to the throne of grace, and I just go and engage. But to start with, I sort of had to follow the pathways until they were mine, if you like. But now I've taken people there, just taken people there, and I think, wow, this is much so much easier, But someone has to go first. Almost, like Ian went first to open up the doors, and so you go first, and then you try and help other people to go there easier than it was for you. Which is
a story about you and the. I was watching one of your mentorings, and you were doing just that. You were taking people up the river of life, and you said, "Now, as on the right, there's going to be a waterfall," and I'm looking at it, going, "What are you talking about? The waterfall's on the left." And I start walking up the river, and the river curves, and I went, "Oh, B, the waterfall is on the right." Yeah. But the baseball game was absolutely amazing. I was talking to the father. I was talking to Papa about it was really hard for me to look in Jesus' eyes, to just be that transparent. And he said, "Oh, look through my eyes at him." And I all of a sudden I'm in this baseball game, and there's no parking lot. It's outside the stadium is all this grassy field. And I look over, and Jesus is sitting right next to Papa, and there's this an amazing love relationship. But people are coming up. They're sitting at the top of the stands. People are coming up, kissing them, telling them how much they love them. And just amazing. And the baseball game, nobody loses. Nobody lost the game. Everybody won. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those things, God shows us things that we can relate to. It's very unlikely to show me a baseball game because we don't play baseball.
Yeah.
But for me, he showed me things which were much more attuned to nature and in pools. Most of my revelation came in swimming down to the bottom of pools and finding things in the water. That there was somewhere all these waterfalls came into one pool, and it was so murky, and I swam down to the bottom, and I found this treasure chest, and in it were gold coins. And each coin, I took a coin, and I ate it, and it was one of the vast sum of the thoughts he has for me. And it just brought me instant connection to something about my life, which I'd struggled with, because I couldn't see myself in that way, and just eating this coin was just a thought. Now, for other people, they may get that in a completely different way, eat a piece of fruit, or they may well engage in it in a different way, because that's how God is. It's so amazing that he does things that is so attuned to who we are. Mm-hmm. And so a baseball ball game for you actually had such meaning, because it spoke to you, and he used something to speak to you, which is real. Now, is there a baseball stadium in the realm of heaven? I've no idea. I've never seen one. There may well be. It may just be that point in time, that's how he chose to present that to you. Who knows?
Like,
I think God does.
Symbolism. Yeah.
Which is good. It just means that we all get to experience God in a way that we can connect with, so long as we can step in and engage, and which means interpretation is important, and that's where learning to understand the symbolism and the things that God gives revelation of is important, because some people, they're sort of almost like I was. When I first went, I was just so completely overwhelmed with where I was. I was just like, wow, 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 wow. And I wasn't even almost taking in the scene. It was just so overwhelming. But because I journaled it, I went back there, and then I looked at the detail, and I could suddenly see, oh, I didn't notice that. And I didn't. And then it was like, oh, how did Jesus appear? He looked like this. And I've seen Jesus appear to me in so many different ways, this looks like the classic Jesus who you would expect in the Bible, into so many different ways. He's appeared to me as the lion, as the lamb, he's appeared to me in so many different ways, but I know it's him, because you just know that you know. But why did he appear that way? And that's what I've learned to ask. What was it about that encounter that was significant that you want me to understand? And so then if I can understand that, then I may be able to help others also understand some of the significance of the things that they engage in, so that we learn. And a lot of it you think, well, why didn't God just tell us? Well, he does tell me a lot, and we converse a lot, and I get personal, very personal conversations, but sometimes he just wants me to search it out. You know, it's like, you know, I think it says somewhere it's the glory of God to hide a thing, and it's the glory of kings to go and find them. But he's not hiding them from us, he's hiding them for us, so that he would see the desire and the pursuit of our heart to find them. That's why Jesus talked in parables, to see who's willing to get beyond the earthly analogy here to see the heavenly truth. And he wants us to go and engage in heavenly truth, which is, you know, really, really great, you know. And, you know, I'm having a lot of fun just looking to pursue these things and help others to understand them. And, you know, I'm hoping that other people will also do the same for me and tell me about places that I've not been so that I can get more, because no one is going to get it all. Mm-hmm. You know, because it'd be too dangerous for someone to get it all. We need to be dependent and continually dependent on God, but also each other. And that's why working as benches of three is a key, because you work together and you complement each other. And when you step into heaven and you go to a different court, you get a different aspect of the encounter that brings revelation to when you come out of it. You can then put together the picture and see a fuller picture, which is how it works for us when we go in the different spheres. It's like, you know, I'm not going to get it all. You know, I'm one aspect of it, which is great, because it means, hey, I need other people, and I can learn as much from others as others can learn from me. And as long as we've got that sort of willingness to freely give what we freely received, then we're going to freely get more stuff to give, you know. But it's great. I mean, it's an awesome... We're living in awesome times, really.
We are. You know. We are.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well,